Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this episode of the podcast, we're going to go to the house that Ruth built. Yeah, that's right, Yankee Stadium, the original one, but we're going to do it in a gridiron twist, and it's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. And this May 5th football history headlines and birthday of some Hall of Famers, we have some really special news to tell you and some great gridiron history we want to share. So let's start off in May 5th, 1922, and construction begins on Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, New York. Right now you're saying, why are we talking about Yankee Stadium on a football show? That's baseball. Well, it is a baseball stadium, but there are some great football games that were played in that venue at the old Yankee Stadium. And here are the 10 notable gridiron games that MLB.com shares with us that were played in the original house that Ruth built. And we're going to go from least to greatest, according to the MLB.com. Number 10 was the last gridiron game. September 12th, 1987 was the final football game ever played at Old Yankee Stadium. The game had Central State University of Ohio edging out Grambling University 37-21. And what was so special about it other than being the last game? Well, Grambling coach Eddie Robinson was still on the sideline for this one and showed disappointment in the loss of his team. Number 9, the last Gotham Bowl. Before the Pinstripe Bowl, there used to be another holiday bowl game played in the Big Apple, the Gotham Bowl. Nebraska defeated Miami 36-34 in this nail-biter on December 15, 1962, in the final edition of this bowl game, as MVP George Myers tossed for 321 yards and two scores. The turnout of fans was poor, though, due to only 14-degree temperatures at kickoff, as only 6,166 people attended Yankee Stadium for that game. That's no wonder it was the last one for that one. Number 8, Kicking Kramer. The Green Bay's guard Jerry Kramer knocked through three field goals to lead the Packers to a 16-7 win over the New York Giants in what proved to be Yankee Stadium's final NFL championship game on December 30th, 1962. Number 7, Tarnished Granite. Back on April 24th, we talked a little bit about Ed Franco's bio, that there was another member of the famed Fordham's Seven Blocks of Granite, was future Hall of Fame Vince Lombardi. In the 1936 season, Lombardi endured what he proclaimed as the most devastating loss in my life. And the Rams needed one win to make the Rose Bowl berth, but alas, they fell to New York University 7-6 on a muddy Yankee Stadium field on Thanksgiving Day, dropping from number 3 in the rankings all the way to number 15. In the AP. Number 6, Tittle Meant Title. In 1961, the Giants acquired quarterback Y.A. Tittle from the San Francisco 49ers in exchange for guard Louis Corleone. Tittle, who led the G-men to three straight Eastern Division titles, lofted seven touchdown passes to lead the Giants to a 49-34 victory over the Washington Redskins on October 28, 1962. The number 5 game at Yankee Stadium, Ice Ice Baby. At the 1956 NFL Championship game, the New York Giants stomped the Chicago Bears 47-7 on December 30th, 1956, compliment their first season using Yankee Stadium as their home field. The game is famous for being played on an icy field in which the Giants wore sneakers instead of cleats, reminiscent of 22 years earlier when those same New York Giants wore tennis shoes to play on an icy Polo Grounds turf that what was famously known as the Sneakers Game. Number 4, Summerall's Boot. Pat Summerall's voice spent many Sundays echoing through all of our living rooms, but it was Summerall's 49-yard field goal as a player for New York in a swirling snowstorm on December 14, 1958, that gave the Giants a 13-10 win over the Cleveland Browns to force a playoff for the NFL East crown. He missed a 31-yard earlier, but he made up with this clutch kick with 4 minutes remaining. The following week, New York defeated Cleveland 10-0 to advance into the 1958 NFL Championship game. Number three game at Yankee Stadium is called What a Tackle. Second-ranked Notre Dame and top-ranked Army played perhaps the most thrilling contest in their historic rivalry on November 9, 1946 at Yankee Stadium, a 0-0 tie made legendary by John Lujack's well-chronicled saving tackle of Army star running back Mr. Inside, Doc Blanchard, late in the game. The number two greatest gridiron game at Yankee Stadium, the Gipper Game. George the Gipper Gip was a first-team All-American at Notre Dame before dying at the age of 25 of a deadly throat infection just days after leading Notre Dame to a win over Northwestern. Allegedly, while on his hospital bed, he received a visit from Coach Newt Rockne. Sometime in the future at halftime of a scoreless game, Rockne found the opportunity to use the wishes of his dying player years earlier as an inspirational speech and urged his squad to win it for the Gip, inspiring the Irish to a 12-6 win at Yankee Stadium over Army. And what was the number one greatest game played at Yankee Stadium? What was the greatest game ever? The NFL Championship game on December 28, 1958, between the New York Giants and the Baltimore Colts. It was the first NFL game to go into sudden death overtime. The Colts won it 23-17 in what is widely regarded as the greatest game ever played. A national television audience saw the Colts receiver Raymond Berry catch 12 passes, which set a championship game record for 178 yards and a score in a game that signaled the beginning of the NFL's surge in popularity. Yes, many times, you know, we've heard that a lot in the last few weeks, that game, the greatest game ever played, December 28, 1958, between the Giants and the Colts, was the game that sort of kicked off the whole NFL's popularity, you know, took them beyond the college football game popularity, and then eventually overtook baseball, and it all happened at the greatest baseball stadium probably ever built, the house that Ruth built, Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium. And those are just some great memories, and we thank MLB for sharing those with us. If you want to be able to read through some old articles like I do each and every day, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of the news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating back to 1798 all the way to yesterday. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll also be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. Now, let's get into our birthdays of Hall of Famers, because we've got a bunch of them here from the College Football Hall of Fame for May 5th. And the first one took place on 1919 in Hamtramck, Michigan. Michigan's great tackle from 1939 to 1941, Bob Westfall, was born. According to the footballfoundation.org, Bob was a starting fullback in every Michigan game from 1939 to 1941. In his first two seasons, he was part of the famous Michigan backfield of Tom Harmon, Forrest Ivashki, Paul Kramer, and Westfall. Westfall's career yards in three seasons was 1,864 yards, a record for Michigan fullback that lasted for 30 years. Bob Westfall received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1987. May 5th, 1927, Newark, New Jersey. Al DeRogatis, the center tackle that played for Duke University from 1945 to 1948, arrived into this life. Al was a special player, as the NFF states he was an All-American at Duke University in 1948. Al DeRogatis was honored with induction in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1986 after the National Football Foundation tallied up their votes. Al also had a promising pro career, as he made All-Pro with the New York Giants in 1951, but an unfortunate ankle injury at the age of 25 derailed his football career. He never quite got football out of his blood, though, as he began broadcasting football games on a radio station, WNEW, in Newark, New Jersey, in 1960. Later in 1966, he moved to NBC-TV as part of the Kurt Gowdy television crew, and eventually did pro football games of the week and college bowl games. May 5th, 1941, Pine River, Minnesota. Oregon State's quarterback from 1960 to 1962, Terry Baker was born. The National Football Foundation says Terry is the only athlete to win the Heisman Trophy, Maxwell Award, Scholar Athlete Award from the National Football Foundation, and a Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year Award all in the same year. Yes, 1962 was a special one for Baker as he won the Liberty Bowl's Most Valuable Player Award too, as his 99-yard run was the only score in a 6-0 win over Villanova. Terry Baker's collegiate football records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in 1982. And when school was done, the Los Angeles Rams came a-calling and made the brilliant young quarterback the first player selected in the collegiate draft. He played 3 seasons for the Rams and 1 in the CFL. May 5th, 1947, Youngstown, Ohio. Bob Babich, the Miami of Ohio linebacker from 1966 to 1968, arrived for his date of birth. Babich was a standout backer for Miami, as in 1968 was named to the All-American teams picked by the American Football Coaches Association, the Sporting News, and Time Magazine. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed a display in honor of Bob Babich into their legendary museum in 1994, and he was the first such player from his school, Miami of Ohio, to gain entrance. He played 9 seasons in the pros, both with San Diego's Chargers and with the Cleveland Browns. Now, how's that for some gridiron history in the middle of May? Well, you can't get it but only one place, and that's here at PigskinDispatch.com and on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast, because we have football history day by day, and we want you to join us day by day. And one way you can do that is to follow us on the podcast provider you're using today, or you can email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Get on our email list, and we will send you an email each and every morning, bright and early Eastern time, so that when you wake up, you open up your email, and there's an email from us that has our articles and blogs for the day, along with our podcast. Sometimes we have multiple podcasts coming out every day. Another way is to go to sportshistorynetwork.com, where you can find this podcast and about 20 other ones on sports history, because sportshistorynetwork.com is the headquarters of sports yesteryear. So make sure you check that out, sportshistorynetwork.com. And we have a lot of great bonus editions of this podcast coming out this week on football history. We have our football by numbers. We have a great author coming up this week. So make sure you look for those, check them out, and we'll see you then. If not, then we'll see you tomorrow. And everybody out there, have a great gridiron day.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.